This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This program is sponsored by Half Hour Deen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to your show Ask Iman, the show where it gives you the opportunity and the platform to call us live in our studio by calling us on 0203-515-0769. That's 0203-515-0769. And for those of you who prefer to send us all your messages, all the details that you need to know is in your right-hand side of your screen, bidhanillah. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, inshallah, to pick up your phone and call us, bidhanillah. And for those of you who want to follow us on our social media, you can watch us live on Facebook. And you can ask us your question there live as well, inshallah, where we get your question live here, inshallah. And we can ask the shuyukh the questions that you actually put forward. Brothers and sisters, well, another thing that I want to remind you as well, for those of you who just tuned in, the channel itself has changed from the previous number that we had before. So it's changed to 769 now. 769, bidhanillah. And our number as well has changed as well. So if all the details that you need to know, it's on the right-hand side of the screen, bidhanillah. With us, we have our beloved Sheikh Waseem Kimson. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikhana, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikhana, we usually start with our show with a quick reminder, but we're going to avoid that today.
Okay.
And we're going to start with our questions because we have a lot of questions that are starting to appear in regards to Ramadan. So we want to be.
Why is that then?
SubhanAllah, although we know it's 2 months away, Ramadan. It's okay. Because we're getting closer to Ramadan now. Obviously, our brothers and sisters are, mashallah, they're getting the energy together so to get their questions. Wow. So, inshallah, Sheikhana, we're going to come to you in regards to this. But I'm going to go through the questions that we have here really quick. But I want to remind our brothers and sisters as well. So just in case, brothers and sisters, you didn't know, inshallah, that as I was mentioning earlier on, that the numbers have changed. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this, because the brothers at the background are telling me that we need to remind you, inshallah, for those of you who are just tuned in, that our channel has changed from the previous number on Sky to 769. That's 769 for those of you who are watching us on Sky. And for those of you who are watching us on Facebook, we are still live streaming there. So no changes has been done, inshallah. طيب, Sheikhana, the first question we have, which is via WhatsApp, is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. I'm heavily pregnant. Do I have to fast this Ramadan?
طيب, بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise belongs to Allah. And may the peace and blessings of Allah Jalla wa Ala be upon his final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So considering or concerning those who have some difficulties in the month of Ramadan due to the fasting, it is very easy for us to answer a lot of these questions to do with the difficulties if we understand certain principles. If the person is not aware of the principles, then the person will just, not necessarily individually, but you see on a grand scale, that everybody's asking, do I fast, do I fast, do I fast? However, if on this platform, where inshallah ta'ala, we have the opportunity to explain these principles, and maybe we are able to, maybe a person is intending to call and to ask, do I have to fast, I'm pregnant? Do I have to fast, I'm breastfeeding? Do I have to do this because I'm working? Do I have to fast because I have exams? Do I have to fast? So many things.
It relates to fasting.
Yeah, so, you know, subhanAllah, it is important for us to understand certain principles concerning the fast, which will enable us, inshallah ta'ala, answer maybe tens of questions at one time. So first and foremost, we say that fasting is an obligation upon al-baligh, the one who has reached the age of puberty, is an obligation upon them.
No.
Meaning somebody who is less or hasn't reached the age of puberty, fasting is not an obligation upon them. Okay. Also, that if they have their health, they are able to fast through the day, and it's not causing them to be ill, then again, fasting is an obligation upon them. There are certain exceptions where a person doesn't have to fast. That is, if a person has an illness, and by them fasting, okay, it makes their illness worse.
Sure.
You are exempt from fasting. Now, the illness is either a permanent illness or a temporary one. If it is a permanent one, then you're exempt from fasting at all the time, and you just have to pay to feed a poor person for each of the days of Ramadan.
No.
If it is a temporary illness, and we ask Allah to give you shifa, and all the Muslim shifa, that you simply make up the days later. If at any time a person becomes pregnant in any of the trimesters, first, middle, or the last stage of the pregnancy, or for example, a woman is breastfeeding, this does not mean it is rukhsa, permission for you automatically to say, I don't fast.
Okay.
If the person, if the sister is able to fast and there is no harm to her health or no harm to the baby.
No.
And of course, you have to seek medical advice concerning this.
Sure.
Because to some extent, we're fasting days which are going to be longer than others. Some people may be fasting 13 or 14, 15 hours. We're fasting maybe 18 and more.
No.
So you have to seek medical advice. If there is no harm to you, and there's no harm to your baby, okay, then you're obligated to fast.
Okay.
If, however, that there is some possible harm to you, or there's some harm to the baby, then you would be exempt, and you make up the days later. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. We have another question, which is relating to fasting, but it's not in Ramadan here. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. Just asking a question in regards to my father, but needing advice from you. I'm 29 years old, and I'm fasting regularly Mondays and Thursdays. But my father wants me to limit it to one day only. But I'm able to fast. Those 2 days. Should I obey my father and not fast, or go with what he's telling me and fast one day?
Okay, so the origin is here. You might say that you have a situation where you have a conflict between an obligation, which is listening to your father, which is an obligation, and doing something which is tatawwu', which is something voluntary. And there should be no clash here, because the obligation proceeds or takes preference over the voluntary act. But it would be interesting to, or maybe wise to, ask the father as to why that he's telling you not to do another fast.
No.
Because essentially it is a personal ibadah. It's in that it doesn't affect or doesn't take anything away from anybody else.
No.
It's an ibadah that doesn't take time from you serving your father. You can still serve your father, be good to your father. You can still fast. Okay. So it would be maybe good to find out as to why your father is telling you not to fast one of the days. Maybe he is seeing something that you're not seeing.
No.
Allahu A'lam. And maybe his your interests at his heart. This is what is important to him.
No.
So maybe his good advice concerning that, maybe you're becoming weak or whatever the case may be. So it would be good to have this discussion with your father to find out as to why he wants to limit you to fasting the one day. And based upon that, if there's a legitimate reason, then you should listen to your father, and inshallah, you'll be rewarded for your intention. If, however, that the person is telling you not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reason which is other than shari'i reason,
right,
then you would have the right to fast. And this wouldn't be considered as a disobeying of your father.
Okay.
If that person is telling you, make this very clear, if the person is telling you not to fast for a reason which is not shari'i, or in fact goes against the sharia, for example.
Right.
Okay, I don't want you to fast because I don't want you to fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this wouldn't be a legitimate reason for a person to stop you fasting, no matter who that person was.
Sure.
Okay. But the most important thing is to ensure that there is no fitna, and it doesn't put any strain on the relationship between you and your father, and to try to resolve the situation in the very best way. Wallahu ta'ala.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. We have another question here, which a lot of people probably will wonder what kind of question is this, but it's assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can anybody fast in the month of Ramadan, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim?
The action itself, then anyone can fast. Anyone can stop eating and drinking from before sunrise, at the time of Fajr, before time of Fajr, and refrain from food and drink the whole day until the until Salat al-Maghrib. Anyone's the action, mm-hmm. Yes. In terms of qubool, in terms of acceptance, that, as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept from those who إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla will only accept from those who have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who single out Allah Jalla wa Ala in worship. So therefore, those who do not accept Allah as their Rabb and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their Prophet and believe in the tenets of faith of Islam, then their action will not be something that is rewardable for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's two elements to that. The action, they're free to do it if they like, to find out what it is like for Muslims.
Yes, they do get that.
Yeah, you know, maybe people at work, they say, I see you fasting, maybe I want to try it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a way of da'wah.
You never know.
And there are many health benefits, not just because Muslims say.
Sure.
But there are, even though, alhamdulillah, we have said it before.
No.
Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us before the medical world about the benefits of fasting. But sometimes, you know, they might need to hear from their own side, if you like, that, you know, whether it's the NHS or other any health service, to say that there is great benefit in fasting. So maybe it's a way of giving da'wah. And it's not about a person say, there's no point in you fasting because it's not accepted from you. No, that would, don't be like this. If a person wants to do that, then, you know, let them.
Right.
Let them feel what the Muslims feel and see what it is like
to experience it itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And maybe this is a way for them, you know, to maybe looking at Islam in a closer way.
No.
Allahu a'lam.
Because I know a lot of people do wonder. I remember previously, before I started working in an Islamic organization, that they used to ask me and say, okay, but how does it feel? Because no one knows what hunger is anymore.
No.
Because they know, okay, well, I'm hungry, but I know in a few hours' time, or a few minutes, I'm going to go and eat.
Yeah, that's
but they don't understand what hunger means when you actually have to fast for more than 10 hours.
Yeah.
So they want to experiment and say, look, I'm going to try it with you and see how he feels. But subhanAllah, but it's a good question because you never know.
Yeah.
None of us know the answer to that. But subhanAllah, today we did learn from that, obviously.
You know, sometimes a person, you know, come home from work and they say, I'm starving. And they say, wow, when was the last time? Well, I had a lunch, but I'm starving now. It's like, so that's like maybe 4 or 5 hours ago. Yeah, but that's a long time. I've been really busy at work.
No.
And the word starving, if you look at it, it's reality. I mean, you're not starving because, you know, in its true context, if you're like people who are living in certain parts of the world are truly starving because of, you know, the trials that they're going through. And what you have experienced is nothing close
nothing
to it.
Compared to them. No. Barakallah feek, Sheikh, and I just want to remind our brothers and sisters, inshallah, for those who are watching, our viewers, our beloved viewers, that inshallah, that the purpose of the show is for you to call, inshallah. Yes, it's fair enough, you can sit there and watch the TV and enjoy the answers that we're giving you, but believe me, and I'm sure that some of you are sitting down watching it right now and have a question in mind right now, and you're thinking, okay, I really need to ask this, but I don't know how to do it. Another thing as well that we will probably realize as well, that we normally go to our local masajid, our local centers, and we want to speak to our local mosque, especially in regards to our imams, but in regards to our cases, our questions. But we're too embarrassed to walk in and ask. And sometimes we think, okay, I don't want to, because I don't want him to know who I am, and so forth. But yet again, this is an opportunity for you just to pick up your phone and call us live, inshallah, on 0203-515-0769. That's 0203-515-0769. Tab Sheikh, we got another question for you here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If I am a traveler and I'm not sure whether I should fast or not, then decided to fast for the dawn breaks, before dawn breaks. This is a traveler. Am I allowed to continue fasting, or do I should have broken my fast?
Okay, so there's a couple of issues here.
Yes.
And that is the ruling concerning the traveler whether they should fast or not. And on this issue, we say that there are, it depends on the situation of the person. If during the month of Ramadan that they are a traveler and they want to break their fast, I not fast for the day, they have that permission. Likewise, they also have the permission to break, to also fast. So if they're a traveler, they have the option of fasting or not fasting. Okay, it is up to them, whatever is easier for them, that is better for them to do, inshallah ta'ala. If you like, well, some of the ulama, they say, if the person is able to fast without any difficulty, it is better, but not an obligation, because they do have the ruling of a traveler.
No.
The second issue is the niyyah, or the intention, or when that has to be made, and as mentioned, that was made before Salatul Fajr, and that is what is a requirement. That with regards to the obligatory fasts, you have to make the intention before the adhan of Salatul Fajr. If after that time that you make an intention after, then that would be sufficient, not be sufficient for an obligatory fast, but would be okay for a voluntary fast. You can, let's say for example, you wake up at, or you decide at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning that you didn't eat or drink anything, I want to fast for the day, you can do that. But that's not sufficient for an obligatory fast.
No.
You have to make the intention before the adhan of Fajr, and if that was done, then the person can fast for that day. Wallahu a'lam.
Thank you. Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. Another question we have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, Shaykh and the brothers. My father smokes regularly during the day in Ramadan. And as a daughter, I do not know what to say. As a respective sign of respect for my father, I do not want to say anything to him. But does that mean breaks my fast whenever he smokes around us?
Okay, so a couple of issues here. Does smoking break your fast? And what seems to be the stronger opinion is that if a person is smoking, not only that the person carries the responsibility and is accountable for the smoking in front of Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Yeah.
We ask Allah to allow Muslims who have this particular habit, for Ramadan to be an opportunity for them to get rid of it. And many Muslims, alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamd, Ramadan has been a blessed time for them, so that they were able to get rid of that habit, subhanallah. Nah. That's the first issue. The second issue is that the smoking itself does break your fast. Because you're inhaling a lot of smoke, which goes into your jawf, which would be something, a form of intake into your, would break your fast. So you may want to advise your father in the very best way. For example, let's say you started Ramadan and you go up to him and say, that breaks your fast, it's haram. You know, the person, the individual hasn't obviously realized the importance of Ramadan and they're smoking during the day. For you to have this approach, maybe is not the best approach.
Sure.
Seeing that you have, you know, some days before Ramadan, before it actually starts, before the fasting starts, maybe it's an opportunity for you in a very good way, very wise way, to somehow deliver the message to your father about the opportunity of possibly, you know, leaving the habit and the dangers of smoking during the day of Ramadan, because it could lead to breaking your fast. And all of us, alhamdulillah, we all recognize, speak about the, you know, have a conversation, something like, you know, the blessings of Ramadan, they're coming, it's a very special time, you know, we can seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims, they come together, we do so many things at this time of the year that we don't do, and you know, you bring about kind of an excitement, if you like, for the month of Ramadan.
No.
And then you can maybe deliver the message that we wouldn't want to spoil it in any way.
Sure.
And then, you know, you can deliver the message this way, wallahu a'lam.
Tayyib, barakallahu feek, Shaykh. We have another question again, subhanAllah, in regards to Ramadan here again. It says, assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. My wife has broken her fast in Ramadan and she could not make up the days and she could not feed the poor. What can she do instead?
If a person who was unable to make up the days, well, it depends really. If the person was negligent in not making those days up of last year, then they should make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No.
But those days still remain in their account, and those days would need to be made up after this month of Ramadan. Okay. If they don't have the means, then they don't have the means.
Sure.
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
No.
Allah Azza does not burden the soul beyond their capabilities or what they're able to do. So if they don't have it, they don't have it.
Sure.
SubhanAllah. But they make tawbah for not fulfilling the obligations, and those days remain in their account, and they should make them up as quick as they can after Ramadan. Wallahu ta'ala.
طيب بارك الله فيك. We've got one of our viewers, inshallah, that just called in, inshallah, Sheikh. We're going to take that caller. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hayakallah, brother. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. What's your question for us today?
First of all, I want to give my salam and respect to the Sheikh, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And the question I had was I wanted to get advice on forex trading, online forex trading, if it's permissible for Muslims to engage in it.
To engage on?
Online forex trading.
Forex trading.
Forex.
Oh, forex. Okay, no problem. Yeah. No problem. Barakallahu feek. Next question. Okay, there's not. Is anybody? Okay, let's take the next call, inshallah, brothers. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Iman. Tab, Sheikh Khair, inshallah. Sheikh, now we've got those questions, inshallah, but we're going to ask you another question via WhatsApp, inshallah, Sheikh. Mm-hmm. Our next question here says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are we allowed to do DNA test to show where we are from?
Okay, I've seen this actually. This is.
Program, did you see that?
No, I've seen the program. I've seen it advertised.
Yeah, I've seen the program about it.
I've seen it advertised where a person, they pay an amount of money, I think it's £60 or £70 or something like this, or maybe in different countries, different dollars or whatever you're going to pay, and you give a sample of your saliva, I think, and you send that off for analysis, and then they send back the results of where you are, your origins are from.
Yeah.
It depends how much detail you want to go back to, in that kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab.
No.
It depends how far you want to go back. That all of us are from Adam,
no.
And Adam is from dust.
No.
Alayhi salam. But if you want to come a little bit forward as to where your ancestry derives from around the world, I mean, it labats. There's no issue in that.
Right.
You know, you come back with results to say that you are 25% this and 50% that, and then 20% this and then 5% that, labats. But that shouldn't lead the results of that. You have to be careful, because you don't want the person to then say, oh, look how pure I am. I'm from one place. I'm 95% so and something from a particular place. And you find another person from who's got a mix of like 5 or 10 or 15 different backgrounds, if you like.
Right.
It makes absolutely no difference whether you are 90% whatever you are, European, for example, another person is a mix from Asia, Africa, and Europe. It makes no difference at all. So if a person gets results back and then that changes the way that they think about themselves, mm-hmm. then, of course, that's something which is you have to be careful of.
Right.
Because the shaitan can come to you in very sly ways.
Because I do wonder, like, why would I want to know? Because I know who I am from right now.
Yeah.
Why do I really need to know what my ancestors come from originally?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely...
Has that been changing anyway?
It goes back to complete personal choice.
Right.
Absolutely no problem. If a person might be interested, another person maybe not interested in it at all. If you have an interest, you must send it off, you get results. Tawakkalallah. No problem, inshallah ta'ala. But that shouldn't lead to any form of arrogance or kibr or the way that you look at people at all.
Sure.
Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The best of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa. Allahu a'lam.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. We have another question. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Are we allowed to fast for the sake of saving money?
So, fasting is legislated to us by Allah Jalla wa Ala and by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's ibadah,
no.
It's worship. And ibadah is for Allah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person dilutes their intention for something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would corrupt that action. They would get nothing for that action, because it's ibadah, because it's worship. So if a person is fasting because they want to save money, then they will receive nothing in the akhirah for the action. They will receive nothing for that. So a person should really purify their intention, and their fasting should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give another scenario. A person says, my fasting is for the sake of Allah, but I am also, my intention to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
People have these sub-intentions, if you like. Or, for example, a person says, I fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, my intention is also to save money.
Sure.
We'll say these things are completely worldly issues. Daha, leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need. There's no need for you to make an intention to say, I'm also intending to lose weight, or I'm also intending to save money. There's no need for you to introduce these types of intentions. We should be striving to purify our worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala best we can and not mix in with anything. If these things happen, khayr al-khayrain, it's good for you, alhamdulillah, you lost some weight. Then what? Or you saved some money, what are you going to do with the money then? Maybe if you used the money in the wrong way, then it was not a good idea for you.
Of course.
No.
That's why you saved a lot.
No.
Next question we have, Sheikh.
I'm not sure how much money really you're going to save in Ramadan anyway.
Ramadan.
I mean, how much do you eat and buy anyway?
Sheikh, I don't know. I mean, this might not be the right show for it, yeah. But it's a discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
You do spend a lot of money on Ramadan than do any other month of the year. Have you noticed that?
You're exposing yourself here now, brother. MashaAllah. It depends. It depends. I know people's eating habits, they do change.
It just changes. Like, yeah, yeah. The things that you normally eat day to day, it just changes there because now you're splashing.
You know what? I have to comment on this because I agree with you.
Right.
And, you know, there is some analogies I can, or some stories I can mention to you to bring the point that you're mentioning clearer. And there are times when there's a bank holiday here, okay, in the UK.
Right.
And the supermarket may not be open for like a Sunday.
Sure.
So the supermarket will close on the Saturday and it's not open Sunday and may reopen on the Monday.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, people are walking, they're traveling around with two trolleys worth of food as though that, you know, because you can't buy food on a Sunday, that somehow we may starve.
Yes.
Okay. Similarly, when Ramadan is a time for Ramadan, Allah doesn't tell you necessarily or anything that you should eat less.
Right.
It just means you don't eat and drink between a certain time. If you want to eat as you like, after that it's up to you. But subhanAllah, as Muslims, we fall into buying more in the month of Ramadan than any other time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something really needs tadabbur.
It's true.
To ponder over it, really, why is this happening? You know, why do I do this?
This subhanAllah, mm-hmm. I said that to my wife when I sat down. I said, look, I don't get it. This year, I'm not going to do what I did previous years where... You know, your sweets, I don't normally eat sweets, but buy all this type of sweets because as a dessert and suhoor, and then whenever family members come.
Yeah.
So you go all out. But yet again, you don't usually do that in the day.